Hello, everyone. This is Matt and Franny, and we're going to do a Q&A.
Hey! I put out a call for questions on my Instagram story. Questions related to the Surviving the Dice podcast. Mm-hmm. Don't open that while I'm... we're also okay. It's a Q&A and W, because you have questions, we have answers, and we also have waffles. So we're kind of hungry, so we made waffles. We've got some blueberries, we've got maple syrup, and we
only
will
the real stuff.
Only the real stuff, and we will be like for real eating them, because we're pretty hungry and we've got plans after this. So this is the only time that we can eat.
We're so busy and important.
Because we're so busy and important. Yeah, exactly. Well, first of all, before we get into all that, Matt, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm good.
What are you up to? What's life like since we last saw you on, you know, episode 16 of Surviving the Dice?
Well,
as Lamb Shanks,
it's been a real treat the last couple of weeks. I am full of artistic projects. My band is performing in Japantown, San Francisco Japantown, on March 30th.
Sayonara Picnic.
Sayonara Picnic. Shout outs to Sayonara Picnic.
Yeah.
But also, you know, I'm moving up in the world. I'm directing this Taiko group as well. So it's been a busy time.
Yeah. It's lots of artistic endeavors for Matthew.
Young Lamb Shanks. What about you, Miss Francis? What have you been up to?
Wow. Thanks for asking. So what's been up with me? I just turned 25. That was very exciting. It was on a Wednesday, so it was fun because of Survivor, but I mostly just kind of worked, I think. And then this past weekend, to celebrate, we drove down the coast and saw some cows, some really happy, really nice cows.
Healthy cows. Like the cows on the milk that
yes!
where they're standing in a grass field.
Yes.
All the very most expensive milk.
The organic milk where they're like, these cows lived happy lives. Mm-hmm. These were the cows... aforementioned cows.
Of the milk. Yeah. We wanted a selfie because they're famous.
Yeah. I took a lot of pictures and videos of the cows. We did try to like befriend the cows and we were pretty close, but then some children came up and they were very loud. And I think the cows didn't really like that so much. Mm-hmm. These literally like prime real estate, prime ribble estate. Because they were like right on the water. They were right on the coast and it was like, it was like the greenest grass you've ever seen.
The bluest sky you've ever seen. Pacific Ocean, she was gleaming. Yeah.
The cows were, and then we were standing there and we were looking at the cows and they were really silent. They were just like chewing grass. Like, you know, it's like, and then birds tweeting, you know, excellent soundscape. And then one cow just, from the very depths of its belly, you just start to hear... And then a moo just like erupts from this cow. Yeah, it was really great.
Yeah. It was beautiful.
It was beautiful. None of that matters because we're here to talk about D&D. So I'm going to be going through your questions. We got a lot of fun questions. It's actually really exciting because I did this like question thing on my Instagram story. Never done that before. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know how it worked. And so I posted it in the afternoon and, you know, the whole rest of the day into the evening, I'm checking. And I'm like, oh my God, nobody submitted any questions. That's like, this is so embarrassing. Like nobody, you know, people liked it, but I was like, that's not enough. I need questions. I was like, how am I going to do this Q&A if there's no Qs? And then we were looking at it and it turns out there was just a different button that I had to press. And they were like, now there's a lot of questions. So it's very exciting.
Yeah, Instagram is impossible to use. Nobody knows how.
Yeah.
Even people who are really good at Instagram are actually bad at Instagram, is what I've learned from this.
Oh, okay.
Because I think of you as very good at Instagram. You know what? You make stories. You know what all the little things do. You can make them
big
and
small. I'm a storyteller.
You're a storyteller.
I don't, I'd say I'm like just barely Instagram literate. But you're Instagram illiterate for sure.
Guilty as charged.
Yeah. It's a strength, yeah. Some might say.
Yeah.
It's a green flag. Also, yeah, we're here in our, this is actually our like desk setup. So this is where we take work meetings. But this is our living room.
Because we're so busy and important.
Because we're, once again, wicked busy and important. So, yeah, that's our setting right now. We also have, just to show, whoop, whoop, whoop. We have our little Tod Pops right here. So cute. I love looking at these while I work. They're so stinking cute. Okay, that goes back where that belongs. Oh, shit, I kind of fucked it up. Okay. Alrighty. The first question. Well, you shouldn't look at these. You've already looked.
Sorry.
The first question from Matt Blankens says, isn't D&D like for nerds? What do you have to say to Matt Blankens about this?
First off, it's very rude.
Yeah.
I can't believe we got a hate message.
I know.
On our very innocent Instagram.
My heart dropped when I saw this question. Yeah.
And D&D is for everybody, is what I would say. D&D is awesome.
Yeah.
So there. Suck it, Matt Blankens.
Yeah. Get that asshole out of here. Okay. Here's a real question. For someone wanting to get into D&D, what's the best way to start? Any tips or advice? Actually, do you know your like D&D origin story? Because I know you played before we played together. You played in college, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What was your initiation and how did you become like comfortable enough to play the game? And I'm going to pass this off to you because I really want to eat my waffle.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that this is going to be generalizable to anyone else, but at my college, there's this whole program where students can teach classes. And so a couple of my very, very good friends were teaching a D&D class and they were like, please join our D&D class. And I said, I will join your D&D class.
Mm-hmm.
And then I picked my D&D class. there was a very like I would say like structured and like, you know, like for beginners like class where you get
that
to play a D&D
really
campaign
sick.
Over
that
the course
really
of a semester
sick. Did you get to learn about like, were there lessons where you learned about all the different like classes and stuff? And
It was mostly just playing.
Okay.
I mean, I think there was like one at the beginning where it's like, here's all the things you need to do to like start.
Yeah.
And then after that, I think we were just playing.
Because I've realized, and sorry, not to interrupt you, but like
golly.
God, sorry. Not to interrupt you, but shut the hell up. Because I've realized that like I know nothing about the other like classes besides I've only played what have I played? I played a bard in our first campaign with that was not public, just Kane and Carson and Matt and I messing around after we got back from Survivor. And then now I'm playing a rogue. So I know those two like pretty well, I feel. And then for like a single session, I played a monk and I was like, what the actual hell? And then on Baldur's Gate, I play a sorcerer. I don't use that to its full extent at all. I don't know how, as sorcerer points. I'm like, I don't know what, but I think it'd be cool to like get to learn more about all the different classes. Cause people like what I've come to learn about D&D is people tend to want like different things from it or really find like different things in it that they enjoy.
Definitely.
And I think that that gets like really captured by what class you end up choosing. Like there are people who like really like to just like fight and like deal damage. And if that's what you find fun about it, then like you should be a class that, that allows that. And like some people really like the role play. And if that's your thing, then you should be a class that allows for that, like a bard. But like, if you don't know that ahead of time, it's hard to know where to start. But anyways, you're right. That's not generalizable. Do you have any generalizable tips?
What I would say is just give it a shot. I think it can help like to have someone who knows a lot about D&D to like help you and like DM your first session,
for
maybe
sure.
Do like a short one, like a one
yeah.
shot session,
uh-huh.
Just to like dip the toes in and see if it's right for you.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, like even if you have a group of friends who are like interested and invested and none of them have played before, you can also do that. Like,
yeah.
I think, you know, DMing is, there's it's a heavier responsibility, I think, than being a player.
Yeah.
Because being a player, you're like one character and you do things in that character. Being a DM, you're like every other character and also the scene.
You're also the background and you're also the script.
Yeah.
And the score.
It's like, I don't know, like we are like the actors in the play and the DM is like all of the stage crew and the lighting and the sound people
and the director
and the director
and also, the other actors
and the other actors. It's like they like wrote the script and like did all, you know what I mean, like yeah. If you have like and you need an ambitious friend who wants to be the DM,
yeah,
and then just go for it. Yeah,
my advice too is like, and I can take this if you want to eat. My advice too is what I did. So I first like I'd heard of D&D through, honestly, probably through Stranger Things, but I'd never played it and also didn't really like have much interest in it, I don't think. And then I first like really heard about it when we were on Survivor, particularly at Ponderosa when I was there with Kane. I was just like, talk to me, Kane. Like, what do you, you know?
Who are you?
Who are you? What moves you? and he was like, D&D. And so he started teaching me all about it. And before we sat down to play together, like I really wanted to get a sense of what like the cadence of play was like. And I really enjoyed listening to Dimension 20, which is a like recorded and released series of different D&D campaigns, all run by a really, really strong DM who like really knows what they're doing. Actually, I don't know if they're all run by Brendan Lee Mulligan or if sometimes it switches up. Anyways, it's really strong. It's people who like know how to play or even if they don't know, are really enthusiastic. So there's a lot of those like episodes free on YouTube. So it's really easy to pop that on, just kind of like listen and hear like what D&D play sounds like so that you kind of like learn the language a little bit. So then you actually start, you know what you're doing. Or you could listen to our podcast, I'm realizing.
Why are you plugging a different podcast?
Why am I plugging another podcast? Forget everything I said. The only resource for new D&D players is Surviving the Dice. But yeah, that's my advice.
Yeah.
Okay, we can't spend this long on every question. I'm sorry.
We gotta
this
burn
is,
through this.
I know, I'm sorry. That's on me.
What? Nothing, never mind.
Okay. Somebody asked, have you tried D&D adjacent tabletop games like Gloomhaven or Oathsworn? I have not. Have you?
I have. I've played Gloomhaven.
Oh! What
I would describe this to you.
Yeah, describe
it. Is that it's like D&D, but the box is the DM. And the box is full of many things. And you, like, dive into the box to, like, find your next kind of, like, quest or, like,
set
of
things. I see.
So no one has to be the DM. You can all be players.
Well, that sounds like a great place. That feeds back into the last question. Yeah. Wait a minute. You two should talk.
Yeah, I love it. And it's also, it continues. So it's like, I don't know, like a legacy game.
Yeah.
Where it's not just one session. You to get through the story of Gloomhaven, you go multiple times.
Like, over. So it is like a campaign.
So it's like a camp. It's like a fully, I mean, it's very clearly influenced by D&D, I think.
Sick. Oh, fun.
And very similar.
Yeah. So I've not played that because I used to have like a thing against, I used to not like board games. We gotta cool it with the, we're shaking the table. You're like, okay. That's okay. All right. I also meant to say the names of the people. So the wanting to get into D&D question was from Issa Sweet Honey. And then this most recent question is from Julie Fascine. Great question. I should play that. I feel confident that I would like it. From Chelsea's Books, what is your favorite part of the podcast? Ooh, we probably have different favorite parts. My favorite part is now editing the podcast because I took that over from Kane. And I find it so fun to listen back through the things that we did and the funny moments. And I just like laughed myself the whole time I'm doing it. And it's a really like fruitful endeavor for me. Very enjoyable. What is yours? Your favorite part?
My favorite part is listening to Franny edit the podcast because she's like giggling to
herself. Oh yeah, I do laugh really loud when I'm
And also just the guests. It's really fun.
Yeah.
It's been a great way to like I don't know, just like meet or develop relationships with random people.
Yes. We have like 3 hours worth of inside jokes with like Marianne, Jay Cocaine, some new exciting guests that will be released soon, who I will not name. Yeah, there's lots of parts to love about it. From M, and I'm going to pronounce this Worcester because I lived in Massachusetts, but I'm not sure if that's actually how it's pronounced. M Worcester 0215. Make a character build for Jeff Probst, namely which class would he be? So actually, okay, this is great because Mo, name drop Mo from season 46 of Survivor, also asked this question. Said, what race class do you think Jeffy P would main? So thank you, Mo, for that. And thank you also to the Worcester person, M. Worcester. I need to pull up what they are. So, okay. Actually, no, let me think about this. I think that the superficial, like maybe the first pass response is like, oh, Jeff would be something like a bard. Cause like, he's like running the show. He's like, you know, but I think wrong. I think Jeff would want to be. Well, what do you think?
I think Jeff.
I feel like he'd want to be something like a little like sexy or not sexy, but like a little like cheeky special. Yeah,
I think what Jeff would want to be like an elf rogue or an elf fighter or something.
I feel like he'd be a fighter. I feel like a fighter.
Yeah.
I feel like he wouldn't have patience for some of like the rogue shit, like hiding. Jeff doesn't want to hide.
Yeah.
You know,
But I think he's a gnome.
Why? Because he's short?
I don't know. Just or like a dwarf. Yeah.
A dwarf. Maybe he's a dwarf. Yeah. But I could see him being like a fighter or like a what is a ranger like?
I don't know.
We don't know them all.
I love that we're pretending to be D&D experts.
Yeah. I'm curious what Mo thinks, because I know that Mo knows D&D a lot more than we do. Maybe I'll message her and see if she responds. Okay, let's. Oh, another question from M. Worcester. How has the podcast and/or D&D strengthened y'all's relationships outside of the game? This is actually huge because we. So, like I said, I kind of alluded to this earlier. We did a campaign. So you know, you get back from Survivor in like the early summer. We started a campaign that August. After we got back, and then played for like a whole year. So we were playing together every 2-ish weeks in the entire lead up to our season being released and as the season was releasing. And especially for people who are on even seasons of Survivor that release in the spring, that whole time is so stressful because it is so long from when you film to when it releases. There's so much building. There's a lot of anxiety. And it's also weird because it's like hard to stay in touch with, you know, 17 other people for that long and really feel connected because you're all like across, you know, the States and Canada and whatever. So I thought it was awesome because I just felt so like regularly, I mean, obviously to you because, you know, we were dating. So I didn't need to feel connected to you. I already felt connected. but it made me feel more connected to like Carson and Kane, who I love spending time with, but it's just, you know, it's hard to like schedule phone calls and, you know, whatever. So it's fun to have this kind of like other world that you're all occupying regularly and you get to see each other, but you also, you know, we wouldn't necessarily spend time talking about like how stressed we were about the upcoming show. Like we're having fun.
What I liked about it is actually that it had nothing to do with Survivor. It was like a way to sort of like take the relationship that we have with these people and bring it into a not Survivor context and make it feel like more just like a relationship with people, you know?
It's friends. It's friendship.
It's friendship. That's what I'm trying to describe.
So it's a relationship with people. It's not just about one thing.
It's not about like winning a game.
Yeah. So that was, and also like, so we actually had a lot of guests on that like first campaign. Just like for us, that was fun. So we had like Brandon Cottom from our season and like Maddie and who else from our season? I mean, we had Carolyn before. We had Marianne come. So it was just, that was another fun way to like, yeah, just stay connected with people. And
for sure.
It really did strengthen our relationships.
I think it did.
Okay. Let's see. from 11% Natalie. Oh, 11% Natalie. Where do you guys get your inspo for your characters? They're also fitting to your personality. Is that a dig to Carson? So, okay. I found it really, really hard to... So the first campaign we played, Kane actually helped me create my character at Ponderosa. He was like, describe to me what you would want to do if you lived in a magical world. And I kind of described it to him and he's like, okay, you're a freaking bard. I was like, okay. So I just did that. And then like, and honestly, my character was just like me basically being a bard. But for the second one, also because I knew that we were releasing it, I wanted to like put more thought into it. And I don't know. I really like being sneaky in games. Like, I really like the mechanic of being able to like sneak around and like steal shit. And I also love like little spells. So I was trying to think of like, who's a crafty little sneaky little guy. I have no interest in being like evil, I don't think. So I was trying to find the intersection of that. And I also think when I first created Maddox as a character, like, I think he was kind of just like a little amorphous and has like evolved into a character that I really like as we have gone through episodes. What about Lamshanks?
Lamshanks. Actually, we had also talked about Lamshanks at Ponderosa.
No, you didn't. Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Where was I?
I don't know.
This is the arm wrestling Brandon Cotton.
Yeah, exactly. Not that much. I basically just came up with the name. I was like, yo, Lamshanks, great D&D name.
Yeah.
And then I was like, who would someone named Lamshanks be?
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of like spun out from there. I feel like a gnome paladin is just like funny.
Yeah.
And that's really how I make all of my decisions when it comes to D&D is what I think is funny.
Yeah.
But
it makes for a really good character.
Right, yeah.
Not always a character that does the things that I would like to do.
But that's one. Part of it. It's that's part of it. Know, that's part of it. You gotta have a strong character.
Is this a double decker?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's
a double decker
waffle. It's a double decker waffle.
DD Dubs.
Okay, what's next?
You can ask some.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is.
Do you guys play together in person or online through Roll20?
From Claire Hopkins.
We play over Zoom.
But I think we're trying to find a better system because it's not always ideal. But yeah, we have our character sheets on
D&D Beyond.
And I think somebody asked us to release the character sheets at some point. I can't remember where that question was. Oh, from Action Jackson Glass. Can you guys please release the character sheets? So that's something like I think we want to do eventually. We're actually cooking on some ideas for like special content we could release that would be fun, and that's one of the ideas. So yeah, that's coming, but we do play on Zoom. Let's see. Oh, also from Claire Hopkins. I had a dream about the party the other night. Maddox shamed Dom for wearing a butt plug.
Yeah, I will just let that one sit.
I love that. That's what reminds me of, like, you know, when you're learning a language and then you dream in that language and that means you've like really absorbed it. Claire Hopkins is like in the campaign.
Yeah.
They're like on it. So thank you, Claire. I love that. Maybe somebody adept at fan art could try to translate that into visual aid.
Maybe
or not. Yeah, or we can not. Okay, from Quim Era, what's your best advice for somebody who wants to try D&D for the first time? Oh, we've kind of already said that.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
We've already said that. But thank you for the question. Okay, so I read this earlier from Carolyn Waldron, or Carolyn. Do you cook your dice or have any weird dice rituals? And I honestly didn't really know what that meant, but it occurred to me that people probably do stuff like you know how like baseball players wear the same socks. Like people maybe have like little lucky rituals with their dice.
Yeah.
Do you know what that is about?
Personally, I don't have time to cook my dice, so I just microwave it.
Yeah.
I feel like I kind of do. I have like a 1-2-3 go kind of vibe, you know, like it's like a shake, go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same every time. So yeah, I would say that I do.
Wait, I've got a question. Have you ever lied about a rule?
No. Maybe.
No, you haven't. Are you really? Do you remember
the context? Well, okay. It was one where it was like I
you lie about what, every rule?
No. It was like
Kane's gonna watch this, you know.
It was like I have surprise advantage and I like didn't feel like I had earned the advantage, so I just went with the first roll anyway, like things like that.
Oh, like you made it worse?
Yeah, I made it worse. I've never lied to make my roll better. I've only lied to make my roll worse.
Me neither. Who does that? Okay. From Maya Biard, what are some key things you write as you play? You write as you play. This is a great question because I'm the only person who takes notes. So what are some key things you write as you play, Matt?
I've got it all up in here.
Yeah.
In my brain.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. I write poetry.
Yeah. He writes history.
I write history. Yeah.
Yeah. So I write down a lot of stuff. Honestly, like I sometimes when I'm like really into it, I forget to write stuff down and then it later becomes a problem. But what's been nice about recording these podcasts is I can go back and listen if I like really forget something. But I will write down like pretty much any name that Kane says, any character, when he's describing like kind of a first pass of a place, I will write down kind of the, like what he describes, like how many doors or like how many people. And I also write down funny things that happen that make me laugh.
Yeah. That's
and that's about it. That's about it. Yeah. But the taking notes, it's an important part of the process as well. From Cambry McCall, have you seen Stranger Things, specifically season 4? How's the accuracy of D&D in that? You probably haven't. Have you seen Stranger Things? Okay. Matt doesn't watch TV. I watched the first 2 seasons of Stranger Things, so I haven't seen season 4, but I did see, obviously, them, like, you know, so in the initial, like, very first scene of Stranger Things, it's these kids, young kids playing D&D.
Yeah.
And they are playing, like, in person, like, tabletop. So I've actually never really experienced D&D like that with like little figurines and stuff. So I don't know how accurate that was, but I mean, it sounds accurate and it sounds like they're having fun. It's very cute.
Yeah.
I want to do that someday. Like there are some people who have really like elaborate sets and like little like doodads and stuff. I want a doodad. Yeah.
Let's do that sometime.
Let's do that sometime. Yeah. Oh. This is a unrelated question, but very interesting. From the Guanyo 42. Do zombies eventually become skeletons?
Yes. Next question.
Yeah. You heard it here first. From Jonah Riggs 07. Who would you like to see guest on the podcast, but don't know if they would do it? Oh, yeah. Who's like a reach? There are a couple people who I want to guest star who I think will do it, who I think are maybe in the works. So maybe I won't say one of those people, but like dream guest star.
The Rock.
No, from Survivor.
Oh.
The Rock. Do you like The Rock?
I don't know.
Dwayne?
Yeah. Dwayne. No, let me think.
I don't not like The Rock, to be clear. You've never spoken about him before. Should I be concerned?
I think Gabler would be
sick. Oh, Gabler would be fire.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I want a Gabler guest star. Al Gabler, if you're a listener of the pod, come through.
Wait a minute. I feel like we could actually have Gabler play.
Yeah.
Gabler, such a wonderful, so wonderful to meet in person. Gabler's one of those people you talk to for a very brief period of time and you're like, I understand why you won Survivor.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gabler's so great. Okay, let's see. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. From Annalise Ilog, what's your guys' process of creating characters? Please send help. Yeah, So I've kind of alluded to this, but definitely just there's really good resources online for kind of just like the vibes of the different classes and races. So I would look up one of those, like there's some fun like infographics on Reddit and stuff, look at those. And then I really did like listening to Dimension 20 and like other live play tables on like YouTube to get a sense of like what a particular character can be played like. So when I was thinking of being a rogue for this campaign, I like found a Dimension 20 season where they had a rogue, and then I listened to like a couple episodes of that and I was like, okay, yeah, I think I like this. I think I like the mechanic of this. So that's kind of where I would suggest to start. But also, I think Kane's question to me at Ponderosa, he probably asked you the same thing, but just like, if you lived in a magical world, like what sorts of, like, how would you want to do magic? What sort of magic would you want to do? Like, or like, would you want to fight? Would you want to like, what, how would you want to occupy that world? And I think the answer to that question can inform what would be fun for you to play.
Yeah. The other thing I would say is that you don't have to have figured out every aspect of your character's character.
Totally.
First, I think totally. That we all kind of like, I felt this and, well, I don't want to speak for you. I felt this, like a bit of a pressure to like, you know, like know my character's entire life.
Hugely.
As if it were my own, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that that is unnecessary and like too much pressure. And I think that really all you need is like sort of the like obvious basic stuff, mm-hmm. like class and race and things like that. And then like a couple defining characteristics. Like all you need is really like a couple things that like kind of like point you in a certain direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean literally like rebel. That could be your like thing that you and like you just like move in that direction. You don't want to follow rules. You want to take the sneaky way. Like it informs a lot of your decisions.
Yeah.
Like, but that's just like one thing. It's like, yeah, I don't know.
Wait, can I give an example?
Sure.
So at the end of our last campaign, my character died in the penultimate episode. Died dead, which was really sad because they didn't get to see out the whole campaign. But that meant for the literally the last episode, I had to come up with like a different character, like just for a single, like a little one shot basically. And I was like, oh God, like, you know, I have to like really think through this character. But I was like, oh, but it's just like one thing. So I was like, okay, like, what kind of a, like, I came up with this person. I was like, okay, his name is, I was like, I want a guy who like lives in the sewers and like travels around the sewers. And that's how, what needed to happen is my character was going to help the rest of the party get into like a castle. And I was like, it's through the sewers. So I was like, this guy, he lives in the sewers, but he's like big. And he's like, you know, he's like, you know, can fight and stuff. And I decided on his name, the Drainer. And I was like, what's the most fun way to say the Drainer? And the answer was, the Drainer. So that was him. It was Declan the Drainer. And then I just came up with like one weird thing about him, which is that he in the sewer system, there's a single flower that blooms. It's the only living thing in there. And Declan worships it. Like he believes it's like divine. And that was like the one thing that I really came up with about him. And then if you have a good DM like Kane, he like worked that in and like made it part of what we were doing, which was really fun.
Yeah.
So it's okay if you literally just have like a name. I like having an accent because I find it easier to like settle into the character. And then like one interesting thing about them, and it can be so, even if you feel like it's not going to relate to what you're doing at all, like if you have a good DM, they'll make it relate in a way that's fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Somebody, Jay Verse, asked this question. If you were going to play Survivor again, how are you going to win? Which I think we should not answer. But a different question. What's the best build to win Survivor? Like, which class is best set up to win Survivor?
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel like it's got to be one of the talky ones, you know?
You think?
Yeah. Like a bard or a... Or I feel like also like... like a caregiving paladin.
Oh, interesting. See, okay, I'm biased because this is literally my class, but I was like, I think a rogue because they can hide, right? So at the beginning of the game and kind of through the middle, they can hide and not be seen as a big threat. But from that position of being hidden, they can deal like wicked damage. So they're sniping people. They're sniping people out of the game. Uh-huh. But they're hidden. Mm-hmm. You like it?
Yeah.
Okay. You asked the next one. I'm full of waffle.
Okay.
We kind of answered that question.
Attack on Anna asks, how did you all get into D&D? Yeah, basically in Ponderosa with Kane. If you ever, that's the best way to get into D&D is go on to
Survivor
and then go to Ponderosa and have Kane be there.
Or any person who, you know,
Kane specifically. Great pod, great banter. Thanks for allowing us to join you on the journey. Thanks, Sask Brett.
Thank you.
That's very cute.
We were saying earlier, it's so crazy that people like actually listen to
this. I know.
Because it's literally, it just feels like we're just doing it and having fun. Like, it doesn't occur to me as we're recording that people are going to listen. And it feels like such a like intimate, personal like story that we're going on. So it's funny that like people know about it. Like, okay, also Sask Brett asked, whatever happened to the halfling you framed for throwing corn at the foreman? That's a great question. And I'd prefer not to answer. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that was me. I think I did that. Framed the halfling. I hope he's okay.
I hope he's okay.
He's probably out of a job.
Yeah.
He's probably living in squalor.
We ruined this poor halfling's life.
Yeah. We should go back. When we eventually return to Galadad, we should buy him like a drink on us or something. Mm-hmm. Find him.
Yeah. Sorry for ruining your life. Here's a pint.
Here's a pint. Okay. Chloe Living Life said, or sorry, Chloe Living Life said, I need someone to explain how D&D works. I really want to get into it, but I don't understand it. Thank you for sending this. So stay tuned. I want to make a little video, and I might make a reel because, you know, they spread like wildfire, and the world needs to know about, like, in my words, what I think D&D is and how it works. Because I also find it intimidating, and even still, I've played two campaigns and I just learned like maybe 2-3 weeks ago that there was something I've been doing wrong the whole time that I've played. Like some on the character sheet, I thought something was something different. I didn't know how saving throws worked.
Oh.
I didn't know that sometimes it's a different number than like the
what's
top number.
The top?
Yeah. So yeah. That's coming soon, Chloe. So you know, hang tight.
Val Potter Madrigal, Luna says, how long have you been playing D&D? I started in 2020. We started in 2022.
Well, you started in college.
Well, I started in college, but you
which was
started,
when?
Which was before that.
Long, long time ago. I should have grouped these by topic. It's occurring to me, but it's okay. We're just going through some of the
we're
same
doing
stuff.
We're doing it live.
We're doing it live.
Let's move a little quick.
Too. Okay. This also from Val Potter. Favorite NPC in a campaign? Ooh. I love when Kane does like an unexpected funny voice. The most recent one I can think of, well, Gideon from the chariot races.
Love that guy.
Oh my god, just like so polarizing. So really a really fun NPC, but
I mean he's not a good guy, but I love
yeah,
that guy.
But you love yeah but also like just recently when Maddox had a little vision and it was the druid Marley, I was like, what's Kane doing? And he was going, shah.
Shah.
Sometimes I'm like, damn, that's the decisions, the creative decisions are so good. Show us your favorite set of dice. Okay, I have my dice here. And Matt gave me these for Christmas one year.
Mm-hmm.
And they're little koi fish.
How cute.
They're they're little koi fish contained in the dice. And I love them. They're very pretty. They're fun to roll with. But I am itching for a new set of dice. Not that I don't love these, but it's just fun to have different ones. Let's see. John Magical asked, what alignment do you most like to play as and why? So I don't think very hard about alignment, but I think that my current character is chaotic neutral, which I like because I think it's fun sometimes to like switch it up, but I don't have a particular interest in being evil. So it feels like a good like middle ground.
Yeah. I think neutral is great.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you just want to create a little bit of drama and chaos and like probably as a good person, you shouldn't do that. But like, you don't want to be evil. No one wants to think of themselves as evil. But yeah, I honestly, like we haven't focused very much on alignment, in this campaign.
Well, also the evil alignment is interesting to me. Cause like, I think I really value like the teamwork of the party. And I think it'd be hard if you had an evil alignment and it's like, so are you like against the party? Like I hear people talk about like, oh, like I was playing D&D and like my friend like sabotaged us. I'm like, but why? You're playing together. Yeah. I don't know. That's maybe my like personal.
Yeah. I think it's more like moral though. Like you could like, if you could like nudge the party towards doing something.
Doing something evil. Yeah. I understand.
Like do more, more corn picker shit.
So it's teamwork for evil.
Yeah, exactly. Teamwork for evil.
Inc. I should get that on a hat. Yeah. Somebody, Llama Ninja. Will Mariah from season 46 be a guest at some point? I don't know.
I hope so.
Mariah from season 46, will you? I certainly hope so. I actually think we've got a good amount of interest from season 46. So as soon as they're off your television screens, we're going to snatch them up. Another one from Val Potter Madrigal. What is each of your favorite class to play? Mine is Druid or Paladin. Love that. I played a Druid in a one-shot. So I really like playing rogue. That's what I'm doing right now. I didn't like bard because I do like being able to do damage, and I felt like I never knew the right things to say. Though it is really fun. I love rogue because I love the combination of being like sneaky and creative and also being able to do some damage. But druid was really fun. I did a like you know the Nightmare Before Christmas, where there's like all the different holidays. I did a one shot that was kind of themed like that. And the holiday that I chose my character to be from was Groundhog's Day. And so I was a druid and I was like a little nervous little guy. And, but I was a druid and I could turn into a giant groundhog and it was so much fun. So it just adds a different element to it. But what's yours?
Yeah. I mean, I like druid, but I also like paladin.
You like paladin.
You picked a good set of classes.
Yeah.
Val Potter Madrigal.
Yeah, you agree. another one from Llama Ninja. Whose idea was it at first to start the D&D pod? Probably Kane.
Definitely
Kane. Definitely Kane. Yeah. Yeah. I think you and Carson are just like, okay.
Yeah. Kane was and is the engine that drives the D&D pod.
Yeah. I'm trying to yeah. be more of a driver. Yeah. Now. Kane's so busy. He's a lawyer. He's, you know.
Yeah.
So I got to take the wheel every once in a while. Mm. Yeah. Much but definitely, like definitely.
Jesus.
Can. Much like Jesus, I take the wheel. Yeah. Heidi! HLG, legend, icon, girl boss, asks, what famous person would you dream to have on the podcast with you all? Is yours The Rock?
You already know. Or Barack Obama.
Oh! I would so choose Barack Obama. Wait, let me be clear. Exactly. Yeah, Barack Obama, I think, would be super fun. Or, you know who I feel like would be great and is also hot? Florence Pugh. She's an actress. She's got that deep voice.
She's named Florence.
Big
points in the Florence Pugh category.
Yeah. We could get Timothée Chalamet. Sorry, I'm reading Dune, so I'm on Dune.
We're on the Dune.
Zendaya. Do a Dune-themed. What are the odds that we could get them to, you know, to come? Digging for Idols asks, fave D&D character you've played? Mine was probably Declan the Drainer that I mentioned earlier, because he was just so ridiculous. And it just, like, it was just pure fun. Like, and it was one session, so I didn't have to think about it too hard. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's Lamb Shanks for me. I'm always playing the same character.
Yeah, but Lamb Shanks is great.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Dream guest we've answered.
Action, Jackson, Glass. Are there any plans for the trio to get into more mischief and side quests? Definitely. Again, we're cooking on some interesting additional content, so stay tuned for that. I think that's kind of like the mechanic for how we'll start to bring in some guests as like kind of side things. Actually, our next guest, very much a side quest. Probably the most fun I've ever had recording an episode.
Banger sesh.
I cried laughing both on the initial recording and when I was listening back through it.
Really good stuff.
Yeah. An all-timer guest who will be dragged back to the pod whether they want to or not. Okay. And all our other guests have been wonderful too. We've been lucky to have like really, really good
people. Right, yeah.
From the same person, Franny plus Matt, come to my band's show on May 24th at Stay Gold Deli in Oakland. Okay.
I mean, maybe.
If we're around, for sure. We got a local.
I might be officiating a wedding.
Oh, yeah, Matt's officiating a wedding.
On that day.
Yeah.
But it might be the next day. I kind of can't remember. Is probably something I should look into.
One should know when one is officiating a wedding.
Right.
I bet the bride and groom would love for you to know the date of the wedding.
Right. But if I'm not officiating wedding,
we'll be there. okay. From the same person, action, Jackson, glass. Do any of you have plans to multi-class? I would like to do it someday, but I still feel like a beginner. And I think that that might confuse me.
Yeah, I was going to say the same. I'm too stupid to multi-class. Yeah. I don't know how to make it work.
But like 5 years from now when we're like D&D, like, you know, like paragons, like we're just icons. Maybe.
Maybe.
And then this is the same person who asked us to release the character sheets. Stay tuned. You're prescient, I'll say. You're ahead of the curve. Carsonauts says, I don't have a question, just saying hi and how much I love the pod. You four are so special to me. Thank you, Carsonauts. Longtime supporter of Carson Garrett from season 44 of Survivor. Aren't we all? That was from Mariah. Love that. Oh, EMAC401, the most clutch D20 roll you've ever made. Do you remember? Because I know very clearly.
Go for it. Yeah.
So this was, well, okay. When I say very clearly, I know very clearly. But do I? Maybe I do. So, okay, this was recent. So we leveled up and I, as a rogue, gained like additional hit dice for when I am attacking from hidden, a sneak attack, whatever. And I also had just learned for the first time that when you get 20 on an attack roll, you double your damage. So I was like, holy mother of God, it's insane. And so we were in, I think this was when we were trying to escape from Goldacre, and we're in that room with like the alchemist and the three guards or whatever. And we're all injured. We've just been tortured. It's like, I was like, God, why do we end up in these situations? You know what I mean?
Bad moment for us.
Bad moment for us. But I was like, from the shadows, I was like, I'm going to just throw a hit at this guard. I rolled nat 20 and then I rolled like fire damage. And then I was like realizing that I was going to double all of it. And so I was like madly laughing the whole time. Do you remember this? I was like, ha, ha. It was like a manic cackle. And I just like killed him one shot.
Done.
Yeah. It was really great. Do you know yours?
No.
No.
I don't take notes. So I forgot. Yeah.
His mind is like a sieve. It just goes right through.
It's more like a hole.
Yeah, there's not even a filter.
There's no filter. It's just a hole. In and out.
Yeah. Let's see.
Who are you again?
Where are we? How did you decide, from Lizzie 1028, how did you decide what accent your characters have? My son Aiden and I love the pod. Oh, cute. Shouting out son Aiden. Love that.
Yeah, shout outs to Aiden.
Shout out to Aiden. I literally was really, I was very stressed for the first recording of the podcast because I hadn't thought about my accent beforehand. And I was like, Jesus, like, Franny, why didn't you think about this? Because we sat down, we clicked record, and I was like, oh my God, what does my character sound like? So I literally just like made the sounds that felt good in my mouth. I feel like I like lilting things. All right.
Sing-songy.
Yeah, I love all right.
All right.
That word. Ooh, it just sets me up. If I say all right, then I just tumble into whatever the accent is. So you hear me, I say that a lot in the podcast, I feel like. But yeah, I wanted to be like lilting. The first campaign I didn't have an accent and I felt too much like me and I think it's so fun.
Yeah. The other thing I'd say is just like give it a shot. I feel like the accent doesn't really have to be stable or consistent.
Yeah, the accent can change. That's
yeah, like don't overthink it. But I do think, at least for me, like throwing on a layer of accent helps to like get me in the spirit.
Yeah.
And just like makes the vibe a little more like goofy and silly, which I kind of want and like. So
yeah,
even if the accent is bad, just go for it and mm-hmm. like don't overthink it is my how I'm approaching this.
Yeah. So I should have like done a little drum roll or something. That was the last question.
Oh.
But I can ask you a question. One more.
Sure.
What do you see in Lamb Shanks's future? What do you want for him? Maybe different than what he wants for himself.
What I would like for Lamb Shanks is it's a good question.
It's a good question. And it needs a quick answer because as you just saw, I need to go really soon.
Okay. I think that the best outcome for Lambshanks is he goes on this big adventure. Mm-hmm. He does a lot of stuff. And then he ends up right back at where he started, farming mushrooms.
Yeah.
I want Lamb to sort of like be the old, like, simple life farmer guy.
Who led a crazy...
Who has, like, seen stuff. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. And who, like, the kids will be like, tell us another story, Lamb. Like, tell us another one.
You want to close the loop.
Yeah, exactly. That's where I'm at.
I remember the most clutch D20 roll you ever made. When we were in the library getting thrashed by the alchemist, and you were questioning your decisions to become an adventurer. Kane had you roll for insight to decide if you made the right choice. And you rolled a nat 20.
That's true. That is a good one.
That was a really funny one. Yeah. Because it was like such a purposeless roll, but it meant so much.
It meant so much.
Okay. Well, this has been fun. I made it through half of my waffle. Matt made it through two waffles. I'm a much slower eater. This happens every time we eat.
Matt is hungrily eyeing the rest of your waffle.
Okay, we got to end this because I can't let him have my waffle. No. But thank you for sending all the questions. Stop. This was so fun. What a great start to our Saturday morning. And keep listening to the pod.
Yeah.
Stay frosty. Okay. All right. Goodbye.